The grandiose Bob Almanac hits the airwaves for Thursday, June 4th, 156th day of the year, 211 left, 210 full days, 211 if you include today. 1812 on this date, the Louisiana Territory. We picked it up through the Louisiana Purchase. But on this date, it was no longer known as the Louisiana Territory. They changed the name to the Missouri Territory.
Really?
King Louis was not happy. Whatever one, Louis the 13th, whoever it was, who was named after, you know, Louisiana named after him.
Right.
He wasn't happy.
Well, I can understand that.
He did. He still got a state, though.
Kind of a slap in the face, but yeah.
1896, he didn't invent the automobile. He perfected it and came up with a way to mass manufacture him. That's why he is that great of a man. We're talking about Henry Ford. And he took a test drive in what he called his quadricycle, his first automobile design. He didn't invent the automobile, but he did a nice job taking what somebody else had thought, and then he expanded on it. And
right.
that Ford name lives to this day.
It certainly does. I'm a proud driver.
1937, one of the first grocery store shopping carts introduced. All it was a folding chair with some wheels on it. But it got the job done. Sylvan Goldman, the owner of the Piggly Wiggly in Oklahoma City, is credited with the invention.
It's a heck of an invention.
You ever go to Aldi? Cost you a quarter to use
I know.
Put a little quarter in the slot.
I know a lot
and
of
you get
people
it back,
are,
though.
Yeah.
If you,
well,
put
you do.
The, yeah, you
oh,
get
okay.
the quarter back if, that little release mechanism,
okay,
if you return
that
cart. Please return the carts to
I know
the
a lot of people that swear by Aldi. I really have never shopped in one.
1940, this is Winston Churchill on the microphone.
We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills, we shall never surrender, and if...
Winston Churchill, he knew that they were in for a fight against the Germans. He needed to rally his people. There's leadership right there.
Right on.
Winston Churchill, V for victory. That was 1940, as famous, we shall fight on the seas and the oceans. 42, 2 years later.
Hardly had the din of guns been hushed in the Coral Sea when the Battle of Midway blazed forth in all its mighty fury. Here the United States forces met and crushed a full Jap battle fleet. By sheer weight of numbers, the Japs hope to overwhelm and conquer our mid-Pacific fighting forces.
So, that's newsreel time here in the Almanac. The Battle of Midway began. It was a key battle and a major victory for America over Japan during World War II and the Battle in the Pacific, Neil.
Yeah, it was big.
Have you seen the new Midway movie?
No.
It's good.
I heard it was pretty good.
It's
yep.
good. Tom Lyons likes the older one.
Okay.
That they did, I think, mid-70s, maybe? Was that when the other one was
yes,
done?
Yes, I think so. Early 70s.
But this one here, good sound effects and special effects and things. Mm-hmm. If you have a chance to rent it, do a Netflix thing or Redbox.
Sure.
I recommend it. Right. 1961 in the news.
In Vienna, Khrushchev revived old Soviet complaints. Kennedy probed for new approaches to peace.
At a time when both sides possess weapons of mutual destruction and annihilation.
So in Vienna, the Vienna summit, you know what they served at every meal and every time they had food? They had the sausage there, the Vienna sausages. It's all they had. And
I can see where, too much of a good thing, maybe.
Jacqueline got sick of it after a while. But Khrushchev and Kennedy, they met 1961. I think Billy Joel put that in his song, Who Didn't Start the Fire? Khrushchev and Kennedy. Isn't there a line in there? Khrushchev and Kennedy? Kennedy blown away.
Yeah, I'd have
That happened a little bit later.
I'd have to listen
What else do I have to say? So Khrushchev wanted to see what this young whippersnapper was all about.
Right.
This JFK guy and kid. I'm sure he looked at him as a kid. 1961. 1970, if you were a pitcher in the American League and you were taking a no-hitter into the ninth inning, the last hitter you wanted to see in 1970 was Yankees legend Horace Clark.
He was a heck of a second sacker. Bespeckled.
He wore glasses, yeah. And that's why he broke up three no-hitters in 1970 in the span of 28 days.
And
And this was the first one on this date. It,
he was a career probably 250 hitter.
But he was magic.
Yeah.
And you know, you didn't want him coming to the plate. You had a no-hitter going to the ninth. Who's due up? Horace Clark. Mm-hmm. He'll break it up for you. He breaks up everything. Breaks up fights. Breaks up ice. He's up in the Arctic Sea breaking up ice.
Oh, that is too good. You know, he was one of my favorites, by the way.
You know who the only other player ever to break up three no-hitters? You know who that is?
Kirby Puckett.
Joe Mauer.
Oh, Mauer. Yeah.
Joe Mauer.
Yeah, that's right. Now that you say that, I remember breaking up a few.
More baseball.
Now there's another group of morons running around in the outfield. Now it's a full-scale riot. There has to be 200 people and more coming on the field. This is absolute tragedy. I have never seen anything as disgusting as this.
Cleveland Municipal Stadium this date. It might have been a good idea. 10-cent beer night got out of control. And guess who was managing the opposing team, the Texas Rangers? Billy Martin.
Billy Martin. I was going to say, that would have been Billy's year.
And that was the game. Indians and Rangers had brawled earlier in the 74 season. So the fans start running out onto the field. They start attacking the Rangers. The Indians come out of their dugout to defend the Rangers against the Indians' own fans.
Wow.
Let's just say in one word, overindulgence.
Yes.
Too much beer.
Yeah. And morons on the field.
Well, yeah. Those morons also brought fireworks, and they were throwing those into the Ranger dugout as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So this was before Disco Demolition Night, a good 5 years before. And, of course, the Indians had to forfeit. Cleveland was not they were angry. Cleveland was not a great city in the 70s. Their river burned. Started on fire. The Cuyahoga.
Right.
That was a bad time. Yeah, mistake by the lake, as they called it. 1984, first time in 32 years, Arnold Palmer failed to make the cut. That's some pretty good consistency there.
Yes.
Which is tough to do in golf, is to be consistent, as both you and I know, Neil.
Yes, very much so.
So that was the first time in 32 years he had not made the cut for the U.S. Open Golf. 84,
what year was that? 84?
84, okay. Same year. The Boss released his seminal album, his seventh studio album that he had released. This one had a huge impact. Hit after hit after hit. What's your favorite song from Born in the USA? For me, Neil, it's Glory Days.
Oh, Glory Days is great.
He could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool, boy.
Yeah. Boy, this is good.
So that was
seen the Boss several times in concert. He never disappoints.
1984 and 89, Tiananmen Square.
On the streets leading down to the main road to Tiananmen Square, furious people stared in disbelief at the glow in the sky, listening to the sound of shots. Heading down the road was a hazardous business, but hundreds of people cheered as buses were set alight and army trucks caught fire, too.
It was not pretty in Tiananmen Square. They had close to 1,000, they estimate, 1,000 pro-democracy protesters were possibly killed by the Chinese military on this date. And that famous picture, that one person standing in front of the tank.
Yep.
That's what this came from. 1989.
Crazy day.
1992, U.S. Postal Service said, you know what, we're going with the young Elvis. Actually, the public voted. They wanted the old Elvis in the jumpsuit, or they want the young Elvis. They went young Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good choice.
Yeah.
The Elvis stamp.
That's the way I would have chose.
And the Elvis stamp then would go on sale, record sales, later on in January, on Elvis's birthday, January 8th, 1993. But this was this date, 92. 1998, Americans aboard Space Shuttle Discovery docked with the space station mirror. That was kind of a big deal. Remember that show, The Ghost and the Space Station Mirror?
Yes.
It was a good show.
Yeah, it was a heck of a show.
2012, the MLB draft. The Houston Astros are the first overall pick. Picked Puerto Rican Academy and high school shortstop Carlos Correa. And in their pre-draft interview, they asked Carlos, do you recognize this sound? If we do that from the dugout, will you be able to hear that at home plate?
That means curveball's coming.
Curveball. It's going to be a curveball. Look out for the changeup.
Right.
Anyway, so that was 2012.
That is very well done.
Birthdays now.
Let's do it right now. No excuses.
And I believe she's 92. She probably still's doing it. It's Ruth Westheimer. It's not Westerheimer. A lot of people say that. We put an extra syllable in there, but it's Dr. Ruth Westheimer, 92.
Let's do it right now. No excuses.
There she is. And you followed.
She was at Carson a lot.
You followed her advice, right? You would,
yes, of course.
Word for word, you have all of her books and all of her shows. 92. Do you like Bruce Dern?
I love Bruce Dern.
I never knew your father, son, but I always respected his resolve.
That's one of his more recent appearances. 5 years ago. 5 years ago in The Hateful Eight.
Yep, I saw it.
Django Unchained. I saw that. That's a good one.
They were both good.
Bruce Dern is 84 today.
He killed the Duke in the Cowboys, and I was not happy with that.
Not many people did.
No.
Right?
Bruce Dern played the best bad guy in Westerns.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
Mamas and the Papas singing for us here today, and one of the mamas. I think she's the only survivor. I think everybody else, Denny, Mama Cass, and Papa John, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Michelle Phillips, who went on and did some acting. All of a sudden, I'm watching Star Trek The Next Generation, and
she's on that?
That's Michelle Phillips.
Huh.
So Michelle Phillips is 76.
I remember
today.
Knott's Landing. She was
she was on that. Prominently. There's no doubt about that. What time is it, Neil?
TV theme time?
Parker Stevenson.
Oh, I love this show.
One of the Hardy Boys.
Yes.
And, of course, they would team
up with Cassidy. Cassidy was the other one.
They would team up with Nancy Drew. And then every now and then you might see a Columbo or even maybe even McCloud would show up and help them.
Now, Parker Stevenson was Brother Frank, the older of the Hardy Boys. And, of course, Sean played Joe.
They both had great hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
it was just above and beyond. And you think of Sean Cassidy's feather, the work that he did on his hair with his feathering game. Right. Parker Stevenson wasn't far behind. When it came to his feathering game.
No, not at all. And then Parker Stevenson, wasn't he married to, what's her name, Kirstie Alley for a little while?
Should have been if they weren't.
I think they were.
Yeah. Keith David, he was Steven Seagal's buddy, his war buddy in Marked for Death.
Oh,
remember they went out and they were going to go fight and kill Screwface?
Well,
one thought he was invincible, the other thought he could fly.
So?
They were both wrong.
His name is Keith David, and he is 64. He had mad skills.
He did.
As they were killing Screwface. Oh, to the beat of the rhythm of the night. And of course, it turned out in the movie there were two Screwfaces, remember? There was one United States base, and there was another one down in the Caribbean or Colombia or wherever they were. El DeBarge. Not a DeBarge. It's El DeBarge from the group DeBarge. He was the leader. That's him singing. He's 59 today.
SNL. There was a woman.
El DeBarge is not a woman. No, Neil, look it up.
Sounds like it.
59. Horatio Sanz from SNL.
I think we can assume that those dulcet tones can mean only one thing. New Orleans own Aaron Neville.
I don't know much, but I know how to hammer nails into water.
He does a pretty good Aaron Neville.
He's really good.
Are they willing to let me do?
Horatio Sanz is 51. Another TV theme. This is for ER.
Oh, yeah.
Noah Wiley.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what else he's done. I just remember him on ER. It's pretty good cast. I don't know. He had that Clooney guy.
He must have been in a movie somewhere, but I don't know what it would be.
He's 49. Let's see. I need an English accent.
I will say, if you do get back with Miss Marshall, handle with care because, you know. Okay, well, I think my ride's here, so I'm going to skedaddle then before anything else happens to me. Yeah.
Neil, here's your assignment for the day today. Find a good place, and it just has to be with somebody else, to use the term skedaddle.
Okay.
I think it'd be really good. Mm-hmm. Angelina Jolie, I always thought maybe I was younger than her, but I'm not. She's just 45. I would have said she's in her 50s, but she's 45 today. Yeah. And a guy by the name of Robin Lord Taylor.
Hello. I am Oswald Cobblepot.
And you know, some people called him the Penguin.
Yes.
That's from the show Gotham. He was the Penguin, the young Penguin.
Right.
He would turn into skinny Burgess Penguin. Mary. The skinny Penguin.
Oh, okay.
He hadn't yet started shopping in the Husky section. 42 for Robin Lord Taylor.
All right, on the gone but not forgotten list today, We had our George during the Revolutionary War, George Washington. Britain had theirs, King George.
George versus George.
Yes.
George v. George.
I think our George was the better. 1738, King George III. He was the King of England during the Revolutionary War. Metropolitan opera singer Robert Merrill was born on this day, 1917. One of the fine actors of our time. Oh, it's TV theme time again. Nice.
He's riding his horse down Midtown Manhattan.
Why not? First we knew him as Chester on Gunsmoke, and then he was, what was his name? Ted or Bedloe or something, I can't remember, in the Gentle Ben with Clint Howard.
Oh, yeah.
And then he
was Sam
McCloud.
Hey, you get off of Mick Cloud.
Very nice.
Oh, I've got some bonus, Dennis Weaver, just for you, Neil. I'm feeling very generous.
I wouldn't sit down there alongside either one of you if I was on my last legs. Man's known by the company he keeps.
Known by what?
By the company he keeps.
Well, I don't see how being alone's going to help you none. You couldn't get no worse company.
Chester, a little zinger on Doc in Gunsmoke. The great Dennis Weaver, born on this day, 1924. What about the fine, outstanding singer Freddie Fender?
Vaya con Dios, my darling.
The unmistakable sound.
Vaya con Dios, my love.
Pretty good. Freddie Fender there, 1937. And one more singer. He was one half of Peter and Gordon. Gordon Waller.
Please lock me away. And don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my lonely.
Jim Erickson on Bell.
I don't care what.
Part of the British invasion.
Yes, they were. Peter and Gordon. And Gordon Waller was born on this day, 1945, and they're gone, but not forgotten.
Your staff forgot the great Gorilla Monsoon. Like I said before, your staff, it just not wrestling,
wrestling
fans.
No,
it's not into, we need to change that.
Yeah. But the champion still in control. No, a small package by the Dragon. They got him! I can't believe it! Small package, you talk about a miscarriage of justice, Monsoon. Flagrant outside interference on the part of Animal Steel.
From WrestleMania 3, history being made. Other thing I love when he said intestinal fortitude. He was a former wrestler. He did the gorilla spin.
Yes.
And then he became a very good,
very good
play-by-play announcer. Yes. Worked with Heenan and all the greats.
Jesse
and with
there,
Jesse the Body. It's Gorilla
good.
Monsoon, 1937.
1937.
Now
they're all gone. But not forgotten.
Neil, you're not gone.
No, I'm going to stick around for an hour.
Would you like to start this Bobathon, this no-repeat workday extravaganza with Colin Ray every second? Highway 101 somewhere tonight, or Alan Jackson, I don't even know your name.
I'm going to go Minnesota native Paulette Carlson and her band Highway 101.
All you need for summer.